this anniversary day. The sun is shining. It's beautiful out, wouldn't you agree? And God made that. But even if it was cloudy, and it was pouring down raining, it's still beautiful. Because it boils down to your perspective on what you think or what you see that God is doing. See, we like to smile when the sun is out. And rightfully so, the sun gives you that feeling of I can conquer the world. But when it's raining, you feel like I just don't want to move right now. You become lethargic, as they talked about in Sunday school, which really means dead. If you lethargic, you ain't doing too much moving at all. You can kind of equate your life to that of a snail. How many have actually sat down and watched a snail go from point A to point B before you've gotten tired and given up? The only thing you see behind them is a trail of slime. Lethargic is what we don't want to be, especially at the mount. So if you would, I want you to turn your attention to the Old Testament book of Zechariah, the very first chapter. And let's see what God has in store for us this 21st birthday. Zechariah, the first chapter, beginning with 14. Amen. You ain't got to flip. There's a table of contents. I said it before. Zechariah, the first chapter, starting with verse 14. Reading from the NET version. It says, turning to me, the messenger then said, cry out that the Lord who rules over all says, I am very much moved for Jerusalem and for Zion. But I am greatly displeased with the nations that take my grace for granted. I was a little displeased with them, but they have only made things worse for themselves. This morning's subject, grace for granted. Grace for granted. Now, I'm not going to say like some preachers that, of course, I'm not talking about the mount.
Come on, Reverend.
Yes, I'm talking about the mount and every other church in America and across the country. We take God's grace for granted. Grace is nothing that is purchased. Grace is nothing that is earned. Grace does not even belong to us. It is God's unmerited favor. In other words, he gives it to us as he so pleases, not something that we have earned or that we should expect. But yet we act as if we expect it, and when we get it, we take it for granted. Here he's telling about how much he loves Jerusalem and Zion. In other words, he is jealous for Jerusalem and Zion, but then everybody else he's displeased. And the more they go away from him, the greater his displeasure, especially because they are missing the vital ingredient to their lives, which is grace. Here, a church now sits for 21 years. Now, those who have been here since its inception knows the pains and the trials and the tribulations as well as the triumphs. And you can look back over that and say, my, what a long way we've come. Or you can say, we sure have a long way to go. But for those who have not been there along the whole journey, They see it as, wow, 21 years, but it looked like we're only 2 years old.
Well.
It is more than a notion to come out of a church, go to another church to worship, find you a storefront in which to worship, then get ready to purchase a building only to have that building taken away, then to turn around and find out that's not where God wanted you, but there was another place that was designed and waiting for you. And once he placed you in the specific building that he wanted you to be in, you or we were the happiest things in the world. But over time, we've become complacent. In other words, we are satisfied with life just as it is. Now, when we was coming into this place, we had to raise $70,000. In how many days? 7 days. Not 7 months, not 7 years, $70,000 in 7 days. And when we achieved that goal, we celebrated like nothing else. But 25 years later, almost like SpongeBob, 3 years later, what have you done with the gift that God has given us? Remember, the only way anybody in America going to raise $70,000 in 7 days is because of grace, God's unmerited favor. That means he had to move on people's hearts to give to a place where they wouldn't even belong, because we had us involved, but we wasn't.
Well.
We wasn't the bulk of $70,000. So now, when you get that, and you praise God, and you walk from Living Word, seven blocks, 7 days. $70,000, 7 blocks to your new location. God's number is seven, ain't it? That's complete, right? Grace for granted. Who are we? Who are we to deserve such favor? Some of y'all never been to the storefront, but I've been there. You can cut this building in half and then cut that half in half and elongate it, and you have Ridge Avenue. It was tight, it was small, but it was right. Right for the time. Right for where God wanted us to be. But when it's the age of accountability or growing up, he moves his favor to another level. But we have to be able to understand and be able to maintain the favor. Why do we take so much for granted? You walk through those doors any old way you want. Some don't come in with a mind of praise and worship, but a mind of signifying and starting mess.
Yeah. Come on, God.
But you're supposed to come through the doors with what in your mouth? Praise. So that means that the praise starts before you even get here. It means it starts at the house. The problem is that we can't give God no respect because we don't give our house respect. Because we take the house for granted. Oh, yeah, we complain about our house. Our house ain't this. It ain't that. It ain't big enough. I need more rooms. I want this. I want that. There's some folks who just want a house. But because we take the house for granted, and we don't appreciate our own home that God allowed us to be in, how in the world can we appreciate his house? See, we got issues. We got issues with grace because we don't understand that everything we have, we didn't deserve. I mean, when you look at your life and how you've given to God and how God has given back to you, the balance beam is uneven. He is more than our ways, what we've done for him, but yet for some reason, he gives us grace. And we become expecting as if we deserve. I'm supposed to have a house. I'm supposed to live like this. I'm supposed to look like that. The only thing you're supposed to do is what God has called you into this world to do. And the reason why we don't know what he's called us to do is because we take his grace. And the reason why we take our houses for granted is because we take our families for granted.
Come on now.
Oh, wow, where you going?
Come on now.
You can't appreciate where you are if you don't appreciate who's with you. Now, the Bible says that what God puts together. Now, I'm often puzzled by that statement. Because I'm realizing as a pastor that God ain't put all of y'all together.
Well, that's it.
And that's why we got some issues in the house and taking our families for granted because you feel as if you could have done better. You must feel that way because you take it for granted. To be able to have children. And I don't care what the situation, to be able to have children means God bless you with some capacity to be able to take care of them. But because it did not come the way you wanted it, you are taking them for granted. You got a husband, but you don't love him the same because he don't look the same. He don't smell the same. He was the same knucklehead you married a long time ago. The problem is y'all begin to take each other for granted. A husband, you don't escape that fast. Mama don't look like she used to look. Mama don't do what she used to do. But the fact is, the reason why is because you take her.
Well, come on, brother.
But we want God's unmerited favor. So let's see. You take his house for granted. You take your house for granted. And you take your family for granted. So far, you don't really have nothing to be thankful for. I mean, at least that's what you present to us. That's what we present to the world. See, we walk around children of God, but yet our heads are down because we don't have what we think we should have. We aren't who we think we should be, so therefore we are not happy with ourselves, and we sure ain't happy with God, even though his grace never seems to stop.
You said it, Reverend. You said it.
Well, I'm also not grateful for my job. You can't be. Because you neglect his house, neglect your house, neglect your children, but you go to a job and you cry about that.
Come on now.
I should be making more. I got to work too hard to get this little bit. So the job that God blessed you with, oh, wait, maybe he didn't bless you with that job. Maybe he wanted you to do something else that was more in line to who you were, but because you were so scared and didn't understand his grace, you took a job just because it pays the bills. Now you got one that pays the bills. You mad, don't like nobody in the house, so you take it all for granted because you was afraid. To step outside of yourself. See, the one thing about God's grace is it's always there, but you got to step into it. Huh? He can't work with somebody who ain't trying to work with nothing. I got a blessing on the other side of town. The problem is you still stuck on this side of town because you familiar with this side of town. Some folk are staying in York for their entire lives not realizing the blessing is across the border. The problem is, I don't know what's across the border. Well, neither did Abraham. See, we get so scared to move. We get so scared that we can't reach our potential in God because there ain't no potential to be reached. Because we give God a ceiling that's right here. But my Bible, from when I read it, they says that my God sits high and he looks low. He's so wide, you can't get around him. So low, you can't even get under him. So how in the world can you not have protection and all of that? Grace for granted. So if you're having troubles with all these issues, you got trouble somewhere else too. You are taking your leaders for granted. You have assigned leaders over you in your lives. You have. Whether it's your home, your job, your church, everywhere you go, you have put yourself under someone else's authority. But you don't listen to them. You don't understand them. You don't call on them. You place them over you, but then you act like you can do it on your own. If in the process you feel so moved or motivated to lead, how can you lead if you're ungrateful for everything you have? We have a vote coming up. And most of us will blindly fill out a ballot. All because it's our right to vote. But nothing in that decision is wisdom. Wisdom says that if someone fought for you to give you the right to vote for a leader, shouldn't you at least take the time to understand what this leader is trying to present? In other words, when you go to vote, you already know who you're voting for. Because you know what they're about. But because you take them for granted, you put anybody over you, and then you get mad when they tell you what to do. Grace for granted. Unmerited favor. God's blessing. He gives us what we need. The problem is we're more concerned about what we want. And when you fool with God long enough, he will give you what you want over what you need, only for you to come running crying back and say, Lord, I need something else. I'm not lying. Children of Israel had God. And the prophets, But they wanted to look like everybody else. Why can't we? No, I'm sorry. How come we can't have a king? All right, so here we go. If you took the leaders for granted, if you took your job for granted, if you took your family for granted, if you took the house for granted, who gave you all of that? So ultimately, we take God for granted. How do I know? I see it in your lives. By the fruits that you bear. I'm seeing a lot of lemons. I never picked a lemon from a tree to open it and eat it without making a sour face if I did it. God says you can tell them by the fruits that they bear. So someone who's producing good fruit, they don't take the fact that they was planted, watch this, on good soil, good ground, that had the good rain from the stormy days, and then the good sunshine when the storm rolled away. And when that all happened, there was something called photosynthesis. If you don't know, check that out. But when the sun hits the dirt. Now, let me tell you about the sun. Because if you think about it, the ground is dirt. But it ain't compacted dirt. It's dirt that has been tilled. In other words, it's been prepared. So when you don't take stuff for granted, you prepare yourself. I don't take for granted that I'm going to put a seed in the ground and the sun is going to reach it. Wisdom tells me that if I turn the ground and put a seed in the dirt, that unmerited favor is going to come when the sun begins to shine. Now, hold up. I know you're excited, but understand this. The sun has to shine through the dirt to reach a dead seed. And when it gets a hold of that seed that was planted on good ground, good soil, good biblical foundation, good word, a good house, it will begin to grow. And as long as we keep feeding that seed, as long as we let some rain from time to time come in, as long as we let the sun from time to time shine, those two gonna get together. But it's God who gonna stir up that seed to make it sprout up and grow into a tree. But now, hold up. The tree can't produce fruit by itself. It has to have all the ingredients plus one more. That name is Jesus. If Jesus don't put something extra on the tree, it ain't gonna produce the right fruit. Oh yeah, you'll get some fruit, but you ain't gonna get the right fruit. You need to get the fruit that God says everybody can pick from. But because we take God for granted, our leaves are withering. Our fruit is nasty. And God is tired of it. He says, I'm displeased with what you're doing. Especially when you know better. 21 years. God is displeased. Because we should be further than where we are. But without the people,
Come on, God.
The place will perish.
Yeah.
God can only take you to where you want to go. In other words, we must be willing to go. But you got to stop taking his grace for granted. God can take us as far, as far, as far can be. But he ain't going to take you there unless you want it. You want it by working, by showing. Lord, we are thankful for what you have given us. I'm thankful for the church house you planted me in. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thank you for every hair on my child's head. I'm thankful for my husband. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for the home you've given me. I'm thankful for the roof over my head. It may not be like everybody else's, but it's the one that you gave me. I'm thankful for everything that you have put in my life. I'm thankful for my job. I know I may have went against you before, but I'm listening now. If you want to move me somewhere, I won't be afraid to leave this place and go somewhere else, because I'm learning how to be thankful for that unmerited favor that you give me. I'm thankful for the leaders that you have allowed to put me in place. I'm thankful for the leaders who I've had the opportunity to understand what they're about and help put them over top of me. I'm thankful most of all the fact that you left your throne, came down here to see about me. I didn't say see about everybody else. You got to make this thing personal. God, in his infinite wisdom, came down to see about me. I'm thankful that you died on the cross for me. I'm thankful that you got up early one Sunday morning for me. I'm thankful that when everybody else gonna forget about me, you said you coming back for me. Don't take God's grace for granted. Doors of the church are open this morning.